Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program because we intend to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and divine Word. If at any time we say something on the program that you either agree or don't agree with, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we'd be willing to hear from you and would want to hear from you. So you can contact us by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. The Apostle John tells Jesus of an incident where he and other disciples had rebuked a man that was not of the group of the apostles, but he was casting out demons in the name of Christ. In fact, Mark records this in Mark chapter 9, so let's begin reading with verse 38. "Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not us." Jesus' response was, "Forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name, and be able quickly to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us." This has been a favorite text of denominational folks. They use it to prove, or at best to rationalize, the acceptance into fellowship of all believers if they do good works and if they preach in the name of Christ. And certainly the argument goes as, well, you know, just because believers don't all go to the same churches doesn't mean they are not of Christ and they're not unacceptable to him. But friends, the standard of right and wrong is not churches. Jesus' answer to the disciples is very clear and it's unmistaken. "For there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name and be able quickly to speak evil of me." That's reading again Mark 9 and verse 39. You see, the man, according to Jesus' response, was indeed working miracles. He was doing a mighty work. And we know that miracles are God's means of confirming the message that men preached. It was through the use of miracles before the scriptures were revealed and put in written form, as you and I now have them today, that proved whether or not the things that they spoke were things of their own doing or if they were truly speaking the words of God. You know, Jesus, after he ascended, he worked through the apostles by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit confirmed the words that the apostles spoke by the miracles that the apostles were able to do. Let's look over in Mark chapter 16 and begin our reading with verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So we see then, and going on even in the verse 19, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God." Now notice verse 20 as well. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the words with signs following." So we notice also that this man in Mark 9 was doing this mighty work in the name of Jesus. He didn't merely claim the authority of Christ. He demonstrated it by the signs that followed. See, this man, in other words, was doing the same work that the apostles had been given the power to do. In Matthew chapter 10, we have Jesus selecting these 12 apostles. And verse 1 says that when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And this man in Mark 9 was doing what he was doing to the honor and to the glory of Jesus. Now, whether he was associated with the 12, that was not the test of right or wrong. The true test was what he was doing. You know, the apostles were not only disciples that given the power to cast out demons. We find that to be the case in what we read in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Here it says that after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. We have that record in Luke chapter 10. And then notice on, not just in verse 1, but let's notice on down in verse 17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So see, it was not just the 12 that were given this power. There was also the 70. And thinking again about this man that is started our study in Mark 9, you see, this man did not do things contrary to or different from, or as Jesus said, against us. See, he was not working against or opposing the message of repentance, of peace, the coming of the kingdom. All of this, Jesus has commissioned the apostles to preach. All we do is go back to that passage in Matthew 10 where we see Jesus selecting the 12 and giving them the power over demons. And the statement is found on down into verse 5. And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we see then that this is what he commissioned the apostles to do. So what we need to do is not contend today that some body of believers is in error because they're not associated with the congregation of which we are members. You know, we can decide that only by discerning whether what they are teaching and practicing are based on the authority of Christ. That's the only reason that we oppose denominational error today. And that's the reason why we refuse fellowship with those individuals and groups that teach it. Now, I know we live in a very tolerant age. We live in what's been sometimes referred to as postmodern world. And what that is, and all that what that means is, that there is no right or wrong. There is no truth or error. In fact, the question they asked is, that, well, who can decide? Well, that question of itself removes the authority of God, of Christ, and the Bible. We who are of Christ say things are right and others are wrong based on what the Bible teaches. That means then, for example, that baptism is a burial, that it is for the remission of sins, and that it is administered only to adult people enough to believe to repent and to confess. And so we refuse fellowship with those that reject these principles because they're not practicing and teaching what Jesus commissioned all of his obedient believers to teach. What about the commission in Matthew 28? When Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then there's that parallel in Mark 16, verse 15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And we see that being implemented in Acts 2 for the very first time. When the question was asked by those that had crucified Jesus, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" in verse 37. The answer in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Then we read what baptism is in Romans chapter 6, that we are buried with Christ in baptism. And Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, teaches that as many as shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? But then we find it says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All of these things are commissioned by Jesus. These are things that has to be done, and when they are done, they're being done by Jesus' authority. Now, would Jesus forbid them, if he were present today, that did not teach these things that we just looked at? You know, again, the only authority of Scripture can answer that. But Jesus has been clear that he refuses to recognize as his disciples any who rejects the will of the Father, regardless of what they say. We're reminded of Matthew 7, verse 21, beginning. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now notice the next verse. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" So see what people were professing? They were professing to do all of these things, and yet in every instance they were professing to be doing them in his name. But then look at Jesus' answer in verse 23. "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So, why did Jesus say, "I never knew you"? Why? Because they're doing something different from what he commanded. They're doing something different from what he commissioned. What must his disciples do? Well, they must act according to Jesus' teaching. And to do something in the name of Jesus is, let us understand, to do it by his authority. You know, just saying in Jesus' name is not enough. We're judged by our works, whether they're good or evil. And it is the teaching of Jesus, what he revealed, that determines what's good or evil. Our time is up. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.